Remember who you are. Well, who are you? I don't know if you realize this. You are in an extraordinary family. And this family is so wealthy that you can already begin to enjoy your inheritance. By the waters of baptism, you were brought into this family. And you were made a child of the eternal God. He put his family name on you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and that's a name for you to take into eternity. This is the wealthiest family in the world, with the most extraordinary privileges. This particular family, the family of God, well, you walk all the time in unapproachable light, because God has declared you his child. You walk as a child of the light. And that doesn't just mean that you are able to discern what's right and what's wrong because morality is so crystal clear to you. It also means that your burden is light, because your sins are forgiven. You walk as a child of the light, and you reflect the light of the holy God. Other people can see that light and God's approachability through you. It's a beautiful inheritance to have. And because the person died already for you to receive the inheritance, it's yours. You have a loving Heavenly Father, and that's who you are, even on the days you don't feel like it. So, in Luke chapter 15, Jesus said, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. No questions asked. Here is your share. Here is your inheritance ahead of time." Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. Every person who's walked as a child of the light sees that in himself, in herself, is a temptation to squander what we have in wild living. And this is to say, I know I'm forgiven. I am absolutely assured of forgiveness. I have the privilege of being a child of God. And I'm going to do what I want because I just know I'll be forgiven anyway. The list of times that a certain part of us says that to ourselves is endless. I've noticed it recently that people who are children of God set aside being a child of the light and decide that they are going to treat poorly, pick your class of people. They're going to treat poorly their family. They're going to treat poorly someone of a different ethnic group. They're going to treat poorly someone of a different political persuasion. They're going to pick someone who has said something to them and treat that person poorly. They're going to squander the privilege they have of living in forgiveness themselves and forgiving other people and just choose to slander, badmouth, turn a cold shoulder to whatever category strikes them that day. They know it's not quite right. They know it's probably wrong, even if those people deserve it, they think. But they're going to do it anyway because they know that they're forgiven. Do you ever find that temptation in yourself? I mean, you can take Jesus' parable and say people are going to squander their inheritance in wild living, and maybe it's genuine wild living, debauchery. But more often, they choose to do a thing that's probably wrong, and they hear that Christians call it wrong, but society thinks it's okay, at least certain elements of society. And so they'll choose to do it, follow their interior desire. The people of our fellowship in Africa say, this happens all the time when a person who's a child of God says, everyone around me is taking two spouses, I'm going to take two spouses as well. It's what I really want to do. I know some Christians say it's wrong, but lots of society around me says it's right. And I'm going to call vicious and unloving anybody who tells me that it's bad, because I'm going to take care of people by taking more than one spouse. It's a scourge on the fellowship. In North America and in Europe, it's more often taking a spouse of the same gender. In South America and in Asia, it's more often keeping a mistress on the side. But whatever it is, the justifications are the same. It's what I want. I hear that it's wrong, but I know I'm forgiven. And the real danger is to avoid criticism. People cut themselves off from the community of faith, from the hearing of the Word of God, from listening to what He has to say. And actually, after he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. They just feel empty. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. He comes back. It comes back when you choose to do things that you suspect are wrong or that you know that other people call wrong. It comes back, and there's a guilt that bothers you, and there's an anxiety that creeps in, and it's an uncomfortable place to be. If you ever find yourself in that position, remember who you are. When he came to his senses, remember who you are. He said, many of my father's hired servants have food to spare. Here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father. He's still my father. He has not given up on me. I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and went to his father. In Jesus' words, we hear repentance. I don't deserve my inheritance. I don't deserve my place in this family. I'm sorry for my sin. Father, can you spare some amount of forgiveness, love, some amount of relief from my guilt and anxiety? Father, I have sinned, but I still call you Father. And while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The father is not a man who's condoning what's wrong. The father is not even a man who's overlooking it. Instead, the father is able to welcome back the wayward child with open arms, because the father has, with a third child, there are two sons in this account, with a third child, the father has taken away the sin of the child who squandered the inheritance. God sent his Son in the world, into the world to be the sacrifice for our sins, to take that punishment on the cross, to take the hell that we deserved. And because the sin is paid for, the guilt is taken away, because that Son sacrificed himself, the Father welcomes back the one who squandered their inheritance with open arms, with joy. He says, "You are still my child." The Father said to his servants, "Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it." There's a sacrifice that has made this possible, and the sacrifice is honored by the words of the Father here. "Let's have a feast and celebrate, for this son of mine was dead." There's no setting aside what the child has done, but now is alive again. He was lost, not condoning what happened, but now is found. So they began to celebrate. Remember who you are. You are the one for whom the other son died. You are the one who returns in repentance and faith and says, "Lord, help me live a life that's pleasing to you. Bless the decisions I make to your glory." Remember who you are and welcome back people who come in repentance. Welcome them back with open arms. There is an example of not welcoming back with open arms. The older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. "Your brother has come," he replied. "Your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound." The older brother became angry and refused to go in. This is like listening to the Lord in the Garden of Eden make a promise of the Savior and say, "No, Adam and Eve, don't deserve it. Let them go to hell." That's how angry the older brother is. He answered his father. The father went out and pleaded with him, but he answered his father, "Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never even gave me a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him." Is it the right attitude? It immediately smells bad. It smells bad to say, "I will never forgive that person for what they said. I will never look at them the same for what they did. I will never go to church again with them because of what they said during that crisis time. I'm just going to find a way to stay at home because I don't want to be near this person whom the Father says he loves." You got to welcome home the knuckleheads. The ones who've just said stupid stuff. The ones who've followed their own desire and then said, "Oh, that wasn't the right thing." "My son," the father said, "you are always with me. Everything I have is yours." The father says to the older son, "Remember who you are. Everything I have is yours too." We have to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. When you found the sinful attitude in your heart, whether as younger son or older son, no matter who you are, remember who you really are. When I was in college, I formed a quartet. It was a singing quartet. It was with another college student and two moms of classmates of ours who lived in the area. We called ourselves the Four R's. One of those ladies taught reading, and I had done some writing, and one of those ladies taught arithmetic. And the other, the college classmate, He was recess. We had a lot of fun going around and entertaining people, the four R's, and we had to do a lot of rehearsing before we could do it. And during the rehearsing, I would get so silly, so out of hand with my smart remarks, that one of the ladies learned how to get me back into line. She would say to me, "Remember who you are." And I would remember that I was adopted into a family where my parents were sober-minded, rather formal people. And I would snap back to attention and get serious again about the rehearsal. And then they would dissolve in fits of giggles because I could switch it on and switch it off like that. Remember who you are. If you're tempted to squander your inheritance and just do what you want because you know you'll be forgiven, remember who you are. Snap to attention. You know the family is not like that. If you're feeling super guilty, anxious, depressed, wondering if God can forgive you, remember who you are. You are His own dear child, adopted in the waters of baptism, a child of the light. And if you're tempted to look down on those who appear to be struggling today more than you are, remember who you are. A penitent, beloved child of the Heavenly Father. Dear Christian friends, wherever you find yourself in this parable of Jesus, remember who you are. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.